relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
To deal with the existential threat of climate change with real jobs, not just $15 an hour job, which I'm going to call for universally, but for prevailing wages, union jobs, paying $45, $50 an hour in benefits.
She's still licking her wounds from having co-hosted this morning with Colonel Kay Kirchlichter. We're going to ask her how it went. She's our West Coast warrior, host of The Morning Answer and The Jen and Don Show, AM 590, AM 870, The Answer. Follow her right now on Twitter, at Jennifer Horn. Before we talk about how you survived your show this morning, what do you think? How are $50 per hour jobs going to go down in California, Jen?
We're getting close, actually, the minimum wage.
And it's working so well, right? It's working
right.
So well.
Yeah, I think like a third of California has already taken off and left the state. You know, we're getting closer to $50 an hour minimum wage. I really have always felt when we talk about this issue, Seb, that we should let the market decide what people make. Do I want people to sit around at McDonald's
their whole
life?
It's a crazy
idea.
You're such an extremist.
I know. I feel like I'm just really on the edge here.
I mean, I want to buy a Maserati for $12. Why can't I decide?
Who doesn't? Can we get a 2-for-1 deal on that? But it's amazing to me that people don't realize that a McDonald's job is great and it's fantastic. It serves the need, but there's always more, right? We want to move up. We want to become a manager. What's the incentive to move up when we just offer everybody the same income?
Yeah, that's there's reality and then there's California.
Can't hear Joe Biden though without any horns blowing. So please.
Oh, we have that cut as well. So stand by. We have that one as well. So how did you do with our crazy Colonel Kirchlichter as your co-host this morning? Are you?
What a nut he is. No,
he's out there, but he's funny.
No, we had a great time. He's been fantastic. He filled in 2 days so far with me on The Morning Answer. He'll be back next week, and I think we're getting along swimmingly. We talk about you a lot. He loves you. I love you. I said we've been traveling in the same circles. We just had never actually met in person. So now we've checked that box.
Yeah, he's a real trooper, real team player. Follow him as well. But first,
I make fun of him for his titles. You know, he's got like 15 titles.
Oh yeah.
So I
tell
him he's like an 8x10 business
veteran.
Card.
He's got to be a lawyer as well. He loves
such a show off. I know. A senior columnist at Town Hall.
No, but did he tell you he's a War College graduate?
I know.
Yes, believe me,
I got all the qualifications.
All right. Let's leave the poor man alone. Let's follow her on Twitter at Jennifer Horn. I want to do something. We're going to talk about some crazy news out of California. But first, let's do a little bit of national stuff because we didn't get to it because I think it was actually occurring during our show yesterday. The wonderful, likewise, warrior woman Kayleigh McEnany had a press briefing yesterday in front of the White House Correspondents Association. And we're going to talk and have a little cut about how the mainstream media dealt with a certain story concerning an individual who happens to have the last name Biden. And then separately, we're going to play you a cut from Jim Acosta. Let's start with Kayleigh McEnany, the president's press secretary, cut 4.
Interesting pre-election and post-election coverage, too, on the Hunter Biden scandal, which was not covered at all by many outlets in the lead up to the election. In fact, on October 15th, you had a New York Times headline that said Trump said to be warned that he was being given Russian disinformation over Hunter Biden. Now, December 10th, just a few months later, New York Times headline, investigation of Hunter Biden is likely to hang over Biden as he takes office. Washington Post on October 16th, the headline read, the truth behind the Hunter Biden non-scandal. Now you have the Washington Post headline that says this, Hunter Biden tax probe examining Chinese business deals. Politico, October 19th, Hunter Biden's story is Russian disinformation. That's a favorite. Dozens of former intel officials say false yet again. December 2nd, now Politico reads, Justice Department's interest in Hunter Biden covered more than taxes.
So they get caught red-handed at all those media organs. And I just want to ask you, because you're living in the midst of the insanity, how do you think Kaylee's audience reacted, the people who call themselves journalists? Do you think they said to themselves, no, we got nabbed red-handed? Or do they just not even register the fact they were caught?
I think, and this makes me so sad because I'm a journalism student. That was my major.
Right.
I applaud great journalism. It's dead. And so the people that Kaylee is talking to in that White House press room, really sadly from all organizations, and I'm even including some of our favorites, or used to be favorites, maybe even at Fox News, they were all guilty of the greatest conspiracy to subvert an election in our time. They had the information ahead of them and they didn't tell the truth. They didn't give the American people the right to decide. I'm not asking them to play favorites. I think what the American people are asking or used to ask the news media for is the truth so that they could make up their own minds. Now you have, I think I saw from the Media Research Center, 47% of Democrats, 47% of Biden voters did not even know that this scandal existed. They didn't even know Wow. about the Hunter Biden story. Think about what that means. I know in my social circles in L.A., my liberal friends had no idea about Hunter Biden. And the ones that did kind of poo-pooed it because the mainstream news media just swept it under the rug. And look, it may not have changed anybody's vote. But the idea is that if you're going to report on every fake story with every anonymous source on President Trump, then you do the same thing. You're consistent. It's either you report on every story without news or you report on none of them until you have the facts.
Yeah. No, it's they have zero credibility. And then
it's gone. You can't even tell. Who's a good journalist, Seb? Who can you think of?
Oh, I can
tell you.
Sarah Carter, John Solomon, Lee Smith. And then you're kind of, you know, Ryan Saavedra. And maybe together we could come up with maybe double digits.
Maybe 10.
Maybe 12 if we push it.
Think about how pathetic that is. How much we celebrated Axios for actually doing that investigation into China and Swalwell. We're right. celebrating that now. I mean, that used to be every day for journalists.
But then, of course, you have people who bear the title senior White House correspondent, a man who is ashamed, clearly, of his Hispanic heritage because his name on his birth certificate is Abilio Acosta, but he calls himself Jim for some reason. And after Kaylee gave that majestic takedown, that press conference, as she left the podium, she's already left the podium, he shouts at her thusly. Video cut 5.
Russia disinformation.
Isn't it hypocritical for you to accuse others of disinformation when you spread it every day?
Why do you accuse others of disinformation when you spread it every day? What would have happened in journalism school if you'd suggested that's how a journalist behaves?
I would have been sent to the hallway in my class. I mean, that's, first of all, not what a journalist does. And it shows you the backbone of Jim Acosta. He doesn't ask her that question to her face.
No.
He shouts it to her as she's leaving the room because apparently Jim Acosta is afraid of a 5'2" woman who stands at a podium and he couldn't even look her in the eye to ask her that question. He had to shout it out. So he gets a soundbite so that he can look brave
yes.
on CNN and that he and Anderson Cooper and Don Lemon can sit and you know, elbow each other and laugh. But he didn't have the backbone or the courage to say that to her because he knows that CNN has been doing this for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody knows misinformation, it's Abilio because he does it. He spews it every single day.
No, this is a crucial point that if you're a real journalist, you ask the tough questions to the person.
Looking someone in the face.
In a way that they can't avoid it, and in a way that, you know, they're actually a subject of an interview. But she's left the podium. She's not even facing. She's looking away from him, going through the exit, and he shouts it. And he's doing it for one audience alone. It's his buddies in the fake news industrial complex. Correct, Jen?
Absolutely. It's for Twitter followers, and it's to have his star continue to rise at CNN. He didn't want an answer. And, you know, real journalists ask questions not to get someone. They ask to get information. If he really cared about an answer to his question, he would have done it during the course of the conference. But instead, he just wanted to opine. And this is the problem with the news media today, Seb, is that there's the reason that there's no journalists, and we're struggling to think of 10 good ones in the whole industry, is because there's no longer someone who cares about reporting the news. All of these journalists want to become the news. They all want to become stars, and they've actually lost what journalism is supposed to be, and that's presenting truth to Americans. They've lost it.
All right, in the break, we're going to put our heads together. Journalism school grad, warrior princess, KRLA. Follow her right now, at Jennifer Horn on Twitter, also with crntalk.com, and we're going to make that list of decent journalists, and it's not going to take us the full 3 minute break. I assure you.
We'll do the 60 seconds
in and we'll be done. But after that, we're going to share that list with you, and then the crazy goings on with the Los Angeles County District Attorney and a brave sheriff in Orange County who said enough is enough. She's Jennifer Horn. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump, member of his National Security Education Board. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios, just outside the insalubrious, sweated. It's a sweated. It's a fetid. It could be a sweaty fetid. It could be a sweaty fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Crack it up. We like Manamana. Can one ever have too much Manamana? That is the question. No, you can't. I'm Sebastian Gorka. It is that time of the week to talk to the West Coast, to somebody who holds the line, Jennifer Horn, AM 590, AM 870. The answer, also crntalk.com. But first, I, Dr. G, am a proud owner of a Car Firearm. That's K-A-H-R. We interviewed the owner of Car Arms, Justin Moon, at SHOT Show. And then a few weeks ago, again on America First, his K9 9mm design changed the game 25 years ago. A small polymer-framed handgun, lighter than a PPK, but in real 9mm firepower. Car is a U.S.-based firearms manufacturer who's in the fight for America, just like us here at America First. Car makes patented high-quality pocket pistols at the best prices. Visit KAHR.com to pick one today. That's KAHR.com today. Jennifer, we did our best, our level best, but we didn't even need the full 3 minutes. We were done after 2 minutes. We did the
All
list.
All we needed the 3 minutes for was to go, oh, man, who else? Who else should be on that list?
And I'm very, very leery of disappointing Shad. So I will be clear here that we are not talking about local reporters. We're not talking about the brave souls that I don't even know if local newspapers still exist. I'm talking about national level investigative journalists who are worth the name journalist. And here's the list, and tell me if I've left anybody out. So we've got Sarah Carter, basically they're all guests of the show. Sarah Carter, John Solomon, Lee Smith, Ryan Saavedra, Sagar and Jetty, Joel Pollack, Breitbart, Matt Boyle, Breitbart. Brett Baer at Fox were kind of like a little parenthetical, but, you know, of the mainstream, he's kind of the best. Bill Hemmer, you're a fan of his at Fox. James Rosen at Sinclair. Chuck Ross, Daily Caller. Sean Smith. than we had recently on from the Federalist, right? John Daniel Davidson. And lastly, my old Fox colleague, Catherine Herridge, who has now gone to what? What's she gone to? CBS?
I think whatever. She's at CBS. Yeah. It's just fantastic.
So let me tell you, out of a nation of 325 million Americans, we have found, drumroll please, 14 decent journalists.
It's embarrassing. That's pathetic.
It's pathetic. Mm-hmm. And think of all the awards they give each other, all the fancy titles they have. I mean, it's pathetic. 14.
It is. And it's tragic.
How many graduates are there of journalism schools, Jennifer?
Oh, my gosh. All the time. And what are they going to journalism school for now is my question. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't. Yeah, that's just it. And everybody is so desperate to opine. And here's the deal. I don't have a problem, as much as they drive me nuts, with Anderson Cooper. Well, he tries to pretend he's a journalist. But Don Lemon doesn't. Chris Cuomo doesn't. Rachel Maddow doesn't. Sean Hannity doesn't.
You're a mind reader. You've done the Vulcan mind meld. I don't watch this garbage, but I have somebody who does it for me. Don Lemon, you got to watch this video, guys. And what he says at the end, I want your comment on this, how sexist this is. This is Don Lemon reacting to the video cut I played you earlier of Kayleigh McEnany's press conference. So this is video cut 6. Eric, play cut.
So much disinformation coming from the podium. It's just, it's every day. It's like, comes out, reads propaganda, talks about what the media is doing, criticizes the media. This is what you should be covering. I think we got this. You used to sit here on the set with us. I think we got it. When you sat here with us, you thought we had it. You were happy to be here, but now we don't know what we're doing. Girl, bye.
Can't let me do it, Don Lemon. Girl, bye. Come on.
It sounds way better when you're doing it.
Thank you. I'll try not to do it
too
often.
This is a guy who gets paid for his words, and he boils it down to, girl, bye. Oh, come on. You know, this is just so rich. At least Kayleigh McEnany is giving them a little bit of pushback. And by the way, Don Lemon, that's exactly what she used to do to you. 9 deep, by the way. She'd be surrounded at CNN,
yes.
And she was still a warrior. So don't be surprised that she's pushing back from the podium.
All right. Follow her right now at Jennifer Horn on Twitter and tell us the latest. What you just won't believe. This is as bad as Don Lemon. So what is this individual called Gascon doing in California, my dear?
From pathetic to frightening, the new DA in Los Angeles is George Gascon. I think we talked about him last week.
He came from San Francisco, right?
He was a San Francisco DA supported by George Soros, ran on the platform that he is now delivering. So there's no surprises here. He said he was going to do all of these things, transformational reform, and he was sworn in last week. We talked about it on this program, all the things that he had promised. Well, now we're seeing them. He had a press conference about an hour ago, Seb, and he said that prosecutors received this new directive from his office that orders them to read a statement to judges in court arguing against strikes enhancements because they provide no public safety benefit. So he came out and he explained all of that. He said that he thinks enhancements in sentencing, which means if you're a gang member and you get picked up for some other crime, an enhancement would be that you're part of a gang.
Right.
Gascon says that he believes enhancements are ineffective and racist, and he says his policies are not unethical. He says he expects his prosecutors to follow his directives. He says he has a mandate from the public, and he intends to follow that mandate. He was asked why eliminate all enhancements rather than just apply them case by case. And he said it's inappropriate for a DA to sentence in a way that stops the parole board from determining if someone has been rehabilitated in the future. He said that these enhancements don't provide for a healing perspective. He's against mass incarcerations. He said this doesn't go along with healing in rehabilitation. He also said that this was not unethical because people shouldn't spend their lives in concrete boxes.
What about the healing of the victims?
And that's exactly right. And you have a victim sister. So last year in a city called Altadena, suburb of Los Angeles, there was an off-duty police officer who was in line for food at Jack in the Box. And someone walked up to him and shot him in the back of the head. He died 2 days later. And that person is now going to be eligible for parole because of George Gascon. And he was in prison life without parole. That has now been changed because they stripped out the enhancements. And his sister has been all over the national news talking about the victims' rights. You've got victims' rights groups who are now pushing back after only 1 week in office. George Gascon's already getting that. You've got the Police Protective League that has actually come out and said that they're starting to raise money. They want private funds so that they can prevent future George Gascons from running for office because they realize that this is the plot. And I know people think that it sounds conspiratorial when we talk about George Soros, but he is using his money effectively in local races like this one. He's going after DA offices. He's going after city council positions, things that you would think that George Soros wouldn't have on his radar. And he's throwing his money in there. He's getting these people elected to literally transform the country that we know and started the most local of levels. And so the Police Protective League is on this. They've started fundraising, and there have been 800 DAs in 1 week's time. This is the glimmer of hope. 800 deputy DAs and people from different offices that have come together and filed a complaint with the Bar Association against George Gascon. So there's pushback already.
Good.
And it's only been a week.
Good news. 800 DAs in 1 week. That's what we like to hear. And that's why she's a regular guest and frequent guest host here on America First. AM 590, AM 870's Jennifer Horn. Follow her now on Twitter. Merry Christmas. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is marking its season of hope, and they need your help. The foundation is honoring America's heroes by donating 36 homes in 36 days. That's one home a day from Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve. Tunnel to Towers is gifting homes in more than 24 states across our nation. They're bringing hope to great Americans, our catastrophically injured veterans, Gold Star, and fallen first responder families. The foundation is giving thanks to all of those who have sacrificed so much for us, and to the many people like you across this country who have supported their efforts to honor our nation's heroes. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Donate $11 a month by going to t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. T2T.org. Help bring hope to America's heroes and their families. Thank you.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Carr Firearms.
Do you enjoy your job? It's not an easy question to answer. Some people don't want to admit that they don't. Others understand the true secret to life. If you enjoy your job, you never work a day in your life. And sometimes you miss a job, especially because of the people you worked with. I'm in that position when it comes to our last guest of the day, former Deputy National Security Advisor, my former colleague in the Trump White House, a good friend, author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. It's been far too long. KT McFarland, welcome back to America First.
It's always a pleasure to be with you. You're a great patriot, Sebastian, and I'm very proud of what you're doing and the voice that you have on the national stage. Well, it's really critical to freedom.
Well, that's true. That's too kind of you. We have to fight every single day because I've come to the conclusion in the last 6 months in America, courage is in short supply. You have a lot of it. Your old boss had it in spades. We haven't spoken since the president took that monumental decision. If I may, please react to General Mike Flynn's pardon from the president.
He should never have needed pardoning in the first place because he never should have been investigated, and he certainly should never have been charged, and he never should have been blackmailed, telling him that if he didn't, unless he pleaded guilty to a crime they knew he hadn't committed, that they would bankrupt him and that they would prosecute his son to the ends of the earth. I mean, you know, confessions gotten under torture and blackmail, you know, that's not a confession at all. And so what they did to General Flynn is just abominable. And if they could do that to General Flynn, and they did something similar, not as bad to me, if they can do that to us, they can do that to anybody. And so I think that it's a dreadful chapter in America's history that I certainly hope is behind us.
Yeah, we have to talk about what the broader context within which all of that occurred and what happened in America in the last 8 weeks since the election. But let's stay on your special area as an old hand at the Defense Department in the White House. I have to ask you, the national security ramifications of what we have learned in just the last few days, that there is a member of Congress serving on the House Intelligence Committee by the name of Eric Swalwell, with all the clearances that requires, who had a relationship with a Chinese intelligence agent, and he's still on that committee. Your reaction to the Eric Swalwell story, Katie McFarland?
I'm as concerned with the sex part of it as I am with the money part of it. She's a Chinese Communist agent, you know, a Chinese spy, and she was gathering money to further his political career. She owned him. And I find that Eric Swalwell is just a tip of the iceberg. He's not the only one. There are probably hundreds of American officials, senior people in business. I mean, we just found out last week that 2 million Chinese Communist Party members have been sent worldwide to embed themselves into multilateral institutions, into multinational companies, in the hopes of spying for the mother country. And I feel that we really need to get a grip on what the Chinese are doing. It's not just Swalwell. It's Hunter Biden. It's the whole pay-to-play scheme. It's the whole compromising American security. And I think I would add to that, Sebastian, remember when we went into the White House, we had to fill out this long form called the SF-86. Pages upon pages. It took me a couple of weeks to fill it out. And it was, you had to say every time you've traveled abroad in the last, I don't know, decade or so.
All the foreigners you've met with.
All the foreigners you've met. Right. Everybody you've shaken the hands with, every conference you went to. Well, by the time you and I got our security clearances, we were in pretty good shape. They knew everything about us. Guess who didn't have to take that test? Guess who didn't have to fill out that form? Right. Members of Congress. They just take an oath saying we promise not to be bad guys. But if Swalwell had filled out that form, if he had been honest about what he had done, I mean, it would be a very different thing. But the guy covered it up. It's time to admit that he's compromised, but it's also time to take a really cold, hard look at others who are compromised as well.
Yeah, one man who took the threat seriously is the current president, our old boss, Donald John Trump. In the last 30 seconds we have with you in this segment, Katie McFarland, what should be the fate of Eric Swalwell?
Get him off of the committee, and he should have to answer to the FBI and to his fellow committee members in the House of Representatives just what he was up to.
Yeah. Resign, and instantly get him off that committee. Follow this lady right now, former Deputy National Security Advisor, Real KT McFarland on Twitter, and get her superlative work, Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting across the nation to hundreds of stations, millions of listeners, live streaming on YouTube. Subscribe today. We just broke 25 million views. Look for America First, Sebastian Gorka. Subscribe today. Hit the notifications bell. And don't forget our Plan B, because we've always got a Plan B. There is an alternative to YouTube as well, and it's called Rumble, and they actually respect the First Amendment. We are broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Drug-free pain relief that actually works. Just listen to Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. Shouldn't you find out if you could be the next Alicia? I think you know the answer to that question. Go now to ReliefFactor.com and order the 3-week quick starter pack for the paltry sum of $19.95. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And by the end of that time, you will know if it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Call 800-500-8384 or just go to ReliefFactor.com. Do it now.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
We will be going back to our fabulous guest, Katie McFarlane. But first, a word of thanks to all you amazing listeners and viewers out there. My gosh, you've done it. We wanted to get 1,100 kids a special Christmas through the Angel Tree program this year. These are girls and boys who've lost a mother or father to the prison system. And we doubled it. Thanks to you, 2,052 kids already. God bless. If you haven't done so already, this is the program where you donate $22 and one of these darling children gets a Christmas gift as well as a children's Bible and a message of love and hope from their incarcerated mother or father. Be that Christmas angel. Donate today as much as you can at our website, sebgorka.com. Click on the Angel Tree banner at the top or call the amazing people at Prison Fellowship on 888-206-2794. That's 888-206-2794. Or just go to our webpage, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. And right at the top, it is the tab for the Angel Tree. And think of this. If you have done okay, if you've survived the coronavirus, if you donate $220, you will be changing the Christmas for the better for 10 American children. Do that today, sebgorka.com. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. We are back with my friend, my former White House colleague, former Deputy National Security Advisor, the author of the book, Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. She is, of course, Katie McFarlane. Katie, you are a maven of matters national security, but I have to ask you to give a grade to talk about the last 8 weeks in American politics. How concerned are you for the future of the republic, given what we have witnessed across the nation?
Sebastian, I'm just concerned that, you know, for democracy to work, we have to trust each other.
Yeah.
And we're to the point now where half the country thinks Joe Biden stole the election in 2020, and the other half thinks that Donald Trump stole the election in 2016. And one of the reasons for that is that this lack of transparency in the voting process and a lack of transparency, I think, in the compromised Hunter Biden's connections, financial connections with so many countries in the world. And that's why I think it's important that the processes play out. So, for example, in the case of President Trump, that all legal methods are pursued. And if there is no evidence or no provable evidence, then I think we have to move on. I think the election was stolen, but the problem is proving it. And we're a nation of laws. The other part that really bothers me, though, is the connection that Hunter Biden has with the Chinese government.
Yeah.
You know, that's just bought and paid for. You know, the Chinese, as you know, they do corruption differently than other countries. They do it, they pay off family members. They don't pay off the official, they pay off the cousin, the uncle, the son.
Right.
And so when Biden got off the plane, Air Force Two, when he got off in Beijing, and he went off to his meetings with Chinese officials, and his son got off the plane to meet with so-called businessmen, the Chinese looked at that and said, oh, yeah, we get this. That's the guy we give the money to. And so he comes back onto Air Force Two. Biden has just had his pro-China policies and forgiving China for all the really encroachments and the exploitation they did of the American economy. And Hunter Biden comes back with $1.5 billion of contracts. We need to get to the bottom of this because we can't let this division in the country go on. And until the air is cleared about what did Hunter Biden do, what is his connection, what's his father's connection with the Chinese government, our main adversary in the world, then I think his whole presidency will be just clouded and dogged, and the American people can't trust him.
Explain to our listeners and our viewers, Katie, why it is, if somebody just landed from Mars in America, and they need to understand what China represents to us, could you give us the classic DC elevator pitch? What is the threat assessment when it comes to communist China?
They make no secret of the fact that they plan to replace the United States as the dominant world power and then rewrite the rules of order in the world to their advantage and to our disadvantage. Now, what does that mean to us? That means the Chinese will determine what American foreign policy is. That means the Chinese will control the commanding heights of technology, artificial intelligence, the 5G internet infrastructure, robotics, microprocessors. So any communication that anybody worldwide would have is not secret. If the Chinese see it and they own it. But China really has every ambition to portray itself and to become the sole superpower in the world, and everybody else does China's bidding. They're Chinese vassals. And if you try to stand up alone against China, they'll crush you economically. I mean, what they could do to the United States if they become the dominant power, say, in 5 or 7 years, they could destroy our economy. We cannot let this happen. That's why I think that it's so important for everyone to understand with a cold gimlet eye, what is the Chinese threat? How are we going to defend against it? And what do we need to do to make sure it doesn't ever come to fruition?
A cold gimlet eye, a lovely phrase. And in the last minute we have with you, Katie, explain to those who may not be familiar or who haven't followed this issue too closely, how our policy to China changed when the president, you, Mike Flynn, and myself walked into that White House West Wing in January of 2017.
Well, we all knew, led by President-elect at that point, Trump, that the Chinese were the problem, and that the Republicans and the Democrats and the Washington establishment and the Wall Street establishment and the social media establishment, they were just doing whatever they had to do, go along, get along, to get China's business. And President Trump stood up to China. He was the only guy to do it. I think he's changed the national conversation. More and more people understand the threat that China posed. But the courage it took for Donald Trump to say, I think they're exploiting us. I think they're taking advantage of us. I think they're ripping off the American worker. I'm going to stand up for the American people. No leader has done that. And, you know, Joe Biden, it could have been easy to do that 20 years ago, when he was chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, or even when he was vice president, stand up to China, call them out on what they're doing, the exploitation, theft of intellectual property rights, taking over the South China Sea. But he never did. Now I'm really suspicious of why didn't he do it? Was it because they were already on the payroll?
Yeah. A man who knew way back when in the 1980s the threat that China actually posed to us. And when he became president, he made sure that he would deal with it. That's Donald J. Trump. We've been talking to Katie McFarland. Follow her on Twitter, Real Katie McFarland, and get her book right now, Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. We love getting your calls. But don't call us on a phone that's connected to one of those big cell phone companies, because they're not on your side. They don't love America. They fund things like Planned Parenthood and even Democrat candidates. Go with the only Christian conservative cell phone company. It's Patriot Mobile. And right now you'll get an amazing deal. It's called the Gift to Give season for Christmas. You can get 2 Samsung A11 phones right now until December the 18th. Use my name. Go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA for that amazing deal. You can keep your old number. And by the way, they donate to things you believe in, like the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, the right to life. Call them today on 972-PATRIOT. Their team is rated #1 in America for customer service, and there's a very good reason why. That's 972-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/GORKA, 972-728-7468. Do it now, patriotmobile.com. Join the good guys.
Portions of today's program are brought to you by Prison Fellowship.
Are you a night owl? I'm a night owl. I get my second wind at about 9 p.m. and my brain starts racing and up to the wee hours, you know, 2, maybe 3 a.m. So when I do sleep, it's got to be good. It's got to be the sleep of the dead, deep and refreshing. How do I make sure that I wake up feeling great? Well, I've got the right lady beside my, in the bed, my muse, Katie. But you've got to have your head resting on the right pillow. It's got to be one of Mike Lindell's My Pillows. He's only sold 51 million of them. They're that good. The pillow that never gets hot, never loses its shape, just cuddles your cranium through the night. The president uses them. I use them. My whole team does. Get yours today with a massive 60 20%+ off if you use my name. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. But you've got to use the promo code G-O-R-K-A, and you'll find a slew of things on that website that are perfect Christmas gifts as well, MyPillow.com. Okay, guys, I do not want to be a prophet of false hope, but as we have been discussing all through the day, we need to keep every eventuality open. We have to keep it all on the table. And as Rush and I myself have, not just today, but repeatedly explained, it's not over. The Electoral College may have voted in the individual state houses. They may have forwarded those votes to Washington, D.C., but nothing is official until the vote count on January 6th. And as you heard Mo Brooks previously and on the show here, he's prepared to block the count, to not approve it, to disapprove it. And if he gets one more senator, that delays the verification. And if it's delayed long enough, if they cannot verify the specific Electoral College votes in those clearly fraudulent states, well, then it goes to a contingent election based upon the House choosing the president and the Senate, interestingly, according to the Constitution, picking the vice president. And in the House, it's not Nancy's majority that counts. It is a one vote per state delegation, where we, the Republicans, outnumber the Democrats. Now, I'm not telling you there's a high likelihood of any of that happening, but it's still possible. So as we say here, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six. Most importantly, never, ever give up. Never give in. Hold the line, my friend. And stay frosty.